This weekend, we've been talking about expectations, and this is based on a prophetic word that God dropped in my spirit as I was on my journey to come to you. God dropped this word in my spirit, not just for City Life Church in Deming, but for the body of Christ. And so I consider this hugely important that 2015 is a time of expectations. And I believe it's a time for greater expectations. Greater expectations means greater than what you've been expecting so far. Unexpected expectations, which means there's some things that are going to surprise you, that are going to be expectations that you wouldn't even, you don't even think you want. And new expectations, which are things you're not even thinking about. But I believe that those are a reality in the earth right now for God's people. Now, I believe that God's people are bigger than what we think. I don't believe that God's people are stuck in the structure that we call the church. I believe that there's a lot of people, humanity, that are on the journey to discover God, and they're looking for God maybe in the wrong place, but they're going to find him there. So get ready, because when God sent Jesus, he wasn't thinking Christianity, he was thinking humanity. And he came to put Christ in the human being. That's how you're a human being. Without Christ in you, you're a human want-to-be. But don't trade Christ in you for some form of religion, or you might just become a human doo-doo. And that's not good, because when you're a human doo-doo, other people step in the things you do. But we want to be human beings. So take the time to listen to the words over the weekend. I'm going to trigger in where we were, because we were talking about some keys to being the kind of people that we need to be in the season, and I'm going to go into that. But I believe that we're living in a time where many things are rising up against the authority of God, particularly the authority of God's praise and our vision of peace. What's your vision of peace in life? Peace means there's no gap between you and God. You can look for other things, but they won't really give you peace. Only God gives you peace. Now, what is peace? Prosperity, health, abundance. Everything that's in God's house, you having access to it, is peace. Peace is having your house in the right place. God wants you to have the key to the house. I have three children. My oldest son is 35. My second son is 34. Oldest son is almost 36 now. And my daughter's 27. And so they're all grown up. They've all left the house, but they all have a key to my house. And they don't have to ask permission to come into my house. Now, they probably will, because that's the kind of people they are, but they don't have to. And if they're in town, they sure aren't going to ask for permission. Like my son and his wife and my grandson were home for 3 weeks at Christmas, and they didn't ask permission to come into the house. They knew they had permission to come into the house. Whatever's in the fridge is theirs. Whatever's in the cupboard is theirs. Whatever's in the house is theirs. Okay, God wants you to know that you don't have to ask permission to come into his house. What's ever in the fridge, it's yours. What's ever in the cupboards is yours. What's ever in the house belongs to you. And you might think you're a big boy, you're a big girl, you're grown up. You can decide for yourself. But he wants you to know, yeah, he gets it. He wants you to grow up. He doesn't want you to be just a little child that's dependent on him. But he wants you to recognize there's a key in your pocket. And it's a key to his house. And you have access to his house. And peace is where there's no gap between you and God. Now, there are things in life that attack your vision of peace, that try to tell you, you don't have peace. God doesn't care. God's not thinking about you. All we got to do is look at the news, and it looks like there are things on planet Earth that are winning, that are an attack against the testimony of God. Now, I believe that radical Islam is no different than legalistic religious Christianity. It's wicked. In other words, when we decrease God to a set of legalistic, abusive rules, we are not a testimony of God at all. When we decrease God to a set of rules to live by, and we try to place those rules on others, we have decreased the most awesome person anywhere to become something that he's not even. Sometime in the weekend, I told you that when Abraham went to offer Isaac, I believe that God was really revealing to Abraham the kind of God he was. He said, offer your son. Now, Abraham was willing to do that because he came from a culture where they sacrificed human beings in flames to gods of fire. You know, our preconceived ideas of what God is don't relate to who he really is. And sometimes he'll speak something to us and we'll think he's saying one thing to us, but he wants to reveal to us something more. So God says, go offer your son Isaac. And Abraham, who came from a land where they offered children to gods, thought, God is demanding me to give my son as a sacrifice. So he gets up on top of the mountain and he hears God say, stop! And I added a little paraphrase to that. Stop! I'm not that kind of God. I'm not the kind of God that requires you to sacrifice your son. His son's name was Laughter, if you translate it in English. I'm not the kind of God that takes your laughter. And in the thicket was a substitute, a ram. So I believe the story was not about Abraham's willingness to offer his son. It's not even depicting the father's willingness. Did you know that the father did not sacrifice his son as much as the son gave his life for the father's will? God didn't kill Jesus. Jesus died. You did not kill Jesus. Humanity didn't kill Jesus. Well, they said they crucified him. My goodness, he could have got off the cross at any moment. But what did he do? He showed you the kind of God that God is. He's the kind of God that will do anything and everything for you. He's not the kind of God that requires you to do something to earn his love. He's the kind of God that wants to communicate to you how much he loves you. You know, if you live in a house that's on fire and God said, that house is on fire, you're an idiot for moving into it. It's not the mean God of fire that caused you to burn. He was the one that says, hey, the house is on fire. Don't go in there. And then you go in there, you can't blame him for getting burnt. Okay, so I believe we're living in a time when things are attacking the vision of peace of humanity, attacking the testimony of praise. You know, you make a wonderful you and a lousy someone else, and who you really are is meant to reveal who God is. So many forces seek to destroy human communion with God. You know, when you commune with God, you know what you become? A testimony of the community of God. When you commune with religion, you know what you become? A testimony of religion. When you commune with yourself, you know what you become? A testimony of yourself. When you commune with depression, you become a testimony of depression. Whatever you have communion with is what you become a community of. And you know what? God's looked at the earth, and so far, the expression of Christ in humanity has been reduced to Christianity. And God wants to release it to a magnification of Christ in the human heart, so that men and women will finally live from their hearts. And they'll finally understand that the place where God lives within them is the place that they can trust. But if God doesn't live in your heart, you can't trust your heart. But if you make more room for him, you can trust your heart even more. So we talked about some enemies that are coming against. Listen to the messages. I'm just going to tell you now some keys, because in such a time where the vision of peace is under attack, we maintain our vision of peace by knowing that the Lord is our strength and He truly does support us. He's my strength. He likes me. Ha! God is my strength and He likes me. Even if you don't believe that this morning, He believes it. God is my strength and He likes me. In the time when Hezekiah was under attack, which is a story we've been talking about over the weekend, you'll have to listen because Hezekiah is a mystery to those of you who haven't heard it. It's like wah, 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 wah. But Hezekiah was a king who was under attack by an enemy. Hezekiah means God is my portion. God is my provision. He trusted in God. And at the time when he was there, an enemy came against him that came to level him and tell him, you can't trust in anything. Came to destroy his life. There are things that are in the earth right now that are trying to destroy human liberty and human freedom. On the streets in other parts of the world today, you know, you heard of the news of what went on in France, but how many of you have heard of the news of what's going on in Nigeria? A couple of days ago, 2,000 Christians were executed by Muslims for being Christian in Nigeria. Did you hear about that? You didn't hear about it, did you? Because the news didn't tell you about it. But I got news for you. Whenever someone who has Christ in them dies, it's precious in the sight of the Lord. Not one drop of believing blood, not one drop of human blood is even shed without God saying, I'm going to turn something good out of this. God hates the death of humanity. Now, He's not out to kill humanity. He's out to reveal the testimony of His life. He hates it when sickness tries to kill you or when sickness takes a life. He wants to raise up a testimony that brings greater life. Okay, so it's in this time that we need to allow the life-giving water to flow out of us. I talked about that in our first session this morning, that there's a life-giving water that flows out of us like in Hezekiah's time. The enemy came to stop up the aqueduct that went down to the Fuller's Field. God doesn't want the water that's in you to be stopped. There's a river flowing in you. Okay, if you approach God as the one who meets your needs, you are looking for something less than who God really is. If you approach God, what can I get today? You know what? You don't know who you are, grasshopper. You're greater than that. You were born for such a time as this. You're not here wasting some time to do some flippin' tryout for some song to be famous or some dance to get attention. You were born to change the world that you were born into. The world that you were born into is an unfair place. It's a place that's barren and destitute. And it's looking for someone like you, sir. Someone like you, ma'am, to wake up and bring the life of the kingdom of heaven into the world that you live. You weren't born to simply get the attention of human beings. You were born to get the attention of supernatural powers that think they're stronger and greater than you, but they're not stronger and greater than the power of Christ in you. You were born to be a habitation of a living God. You were born to have rivers of life-giving water flow out of your belly. Ah! You were born to release a testimony of what the community of heaven looks like right here in the community of Deming, New Mexico. I'm evidence of it because, you know, when I was young, I was an idiot. In my town, when there was a crime, I was in a small town. So, you know, it's smaller than your town. And when a crime happened, you know who the first person the police would come get? They'd come personally pick me up, take me to their little office and say, did you do this? And I say, no, I did not do it. And then they say, when we find out you did it, your butt's going to be ours. I was, you know, you do this thing here, you do the junior year prom, you do the king and queen, do they do that here? You know, I missed being the prom king by 3 votes. You know why they wanted to make me prom king? Because they thought it would be the funniest thing that ever happened in the city if I became the king. I was voted in my class the least likely to succeed. You know what? I don't deserve to have a world that's good. And you know what? My pastor's my oldest son. He's been my pastor for 4 years. He pastors the church I pioneered 24 years ago. My second son is a helicopter pilot, and his wife is a prophetic artist. They love God with all their hearts. I got awesome grandkids and kids. My daughter works full-time for a church as a personal assistant to two pastors. I got kids that have always known God, always loved God, never rebelled. How did this happen? You see, I have not reaped what I sowed in my life prior to Christ. I'm reaping, losing my hackamore bit here. I'm reaping, I feel like my old horse. I'm reaping what Jesus sowed, what Father God sowed in my life. My children, my children's children are a testimony of what Jesus did, not what I did. So there's a river flowing out of my life. What river is the river in your life? Like in the time of Hezekiah. Okay? And of course, the issue was, the testimony would be, and we went through the names. I'm not going to go through that right now because I got to get into the keys. I got to finish three more keys and remind us of the things that we said. But the bottom line is, when we stand fast in the place that God is our provision, God is our protection, I know He's with me, He likes me, He's my friend, and we refuse to allow the enemy to block up the river. Ha! We refuse to allow the enemy to stop the water that's flowing. Then what ends up happening is, we become a people who stay in the presence of God. We become a people who, in the midst of our assault of the enemy, we actually grow spiritually. We actually begin to mature. Ha! And then we increase in expectancy, which means we remain young in our hearts. You should be younger inside this year than you were last year. Your expectancy should be greater. And it doesn't matter what enemy is facing you, because He who is in you is greater than any enemy that's facing you. I've got to tell you, I already told you, my friend who works with the Muslims, he knows the truth. Did you know that 1 million Muslims are coming to Christ monthly? You get excited when you read the book of Acts and you see 4,000 came to Jesus. 1 million Muslims came to Jesus Christ last month. Now, you won't hear that in the public news. No, you hear about the extreme religious Islamics. You don't hear about human beings who are discovering the love of God. You simply see a weapon of the enemy. And I got news for you. The enemy is divided and he cannot stand. Okay? You know, we hear all the reports of different cancers that are manifesting. I got to tell you, I believe that God has set the body of Christ to be a supernatural zone for cancer deliverance. And I'm not just talking about physical cancer. I'm talking about emotional cancer, spiritual cancer. Oh, come on. Cancer's butt is going to get kicked by the testimony of grace. And even in this congregation right now, I'm declaring cancer-free zone and cancer's butt to be kicked by the power of Christ in you. The hope of glory in Jesus' name. And I don't care what report comes from the outside. I'm calling to the report that comes from the inside. Ha! Let the river flow in Jesus' name. And so those of you who are believing for springtime in winter, be expectant. Because the seasons are not bound to the seasons of the times. The seasons are freed by the season of eternity. So in a time like this, we're going to remain increase in our expectancy. We're going to remain receptive, be tender, and we're going to live in security. Now, I gave some keys for that, and I'm going to remind us of that. Some of you, this will be new to you, so you will have to go and listen to the actual message. But I'm going to give some keys, and then I'm going to finish three keys that I didn't talk about yet. And so these are all found in Isaiah 36, Isaiah 37, in the story of Hezekiah. What happened was, the enemy came against Hezekiah. It was an enemy like Islamic extremism, an enemy like legalistic judgment, an enemy like religious law and judgment, an enemy like being offended and making judgments on others, an enemy like cancer, enemies that came against to destroy the vision of peace and the testimony of praise. And at that time, what happens is Hezekiah, he rolls the letter out. First of all, the attack of the enemy comes, but Hezekiah, he takes the letter of the enemy and he simply brings it to God. Now, he lived in an old covenant time. So when you read Hezekiah, don't think that it's a prescription of exactly what you should do. You're reading a story of a man who lived in an old covenant time. You're a person who lives in a new covenant time. What's the difference? In an old covenant time, you hope that God would show up and deliver you. Oh, help. That's an old covenant sound. Oh, please help. I hear that prayer all over the world. I hear it in the church. Oh, when? Okay, that was Hezekiah. He tore his clothes, threw sackcloth, put sackcloth on, and put dust on his head and cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered. Well, Jesus, when Jesus came, he changed all that. He made it so that it's no longer about abstaining from the flesh. It's about indulging in the Spirit. So no longer is the sound when the enemy comes and we roll out the letter in front of God. We don't go, oh, when are you going to deliver us? We go, whoo, yeah, come on. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. God, we delight in you. Look what the enemy has said about you. Look what the enemy said about your people. Look what the enemy said about my life. Whoa, this is a lie. Manifest who you are in my life. I put my trust in you, God. God, move among the nations. Move in the families of this congregation. Move in my life, God, because there's no gap between me and you. There's no gap between humanity and you. Those who are hating you are even loved by you. Yeah? So the first thing to be a people in 2015 that stay in the presence of God, grow spiritually, increase in expectancy, remain receptive, and live in security, we cannot measure your expectations by the standards of the world. Don't look at what's going on in the natural around you and measure your expectations. Don't measure it by what's going on in the world. We saw that in verse 6 of chapter 36. So don't measure your expectations by the standards of the world. What's a standard of the world? Fair, unfair, should have happened, shouldn't have happened. Okay, hello, young generation. You live in a society where at school they tell you this, the world should be fair. It's a lie. It's not fair. It's better than that. You don't live in a fair world. You live in a world that's totally unfair. But guess what? You got a good God who wants to move into your unfair world. You know what? You don't have the life that your neighbor had. Your neighbor doesn't have the life that you have. But I got really good news for you. God likes your life. And to your neighbor, God says, I like your life. And God wants to move into the neighborhood. For almost none of us in this room does God want to get you out of your circumstance. But 100% of us in this room, God wants to move into our circumstance with you. It's not fair. My family had a divorce. You're right, it's not fair. Should never have happened. But it did. So guess what? I got really good news for you. God wants to move into your broken situation and do a miracle. So don't measure your expectations by standards of the world. The justice, how many of you want justice? You want justice? Then you have to read Isaiah 11 and discover what God's justice is. Isaiah 11 says that the justice system of God, Jesus does not make decisions by the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears, but with equity he makes decisions for the poor. That means this, justice is not based on you did me wrong, you need to be avenged. I need to be avenged on you. Here is the justice system of God. You are an idiot, and God decides to make you a millionaire. God, you don't deserve forgiveness, and God forgave you. Yeah, we understand they did me wrong. You did God right? What was the qualification for you being loved by God? You finally got it right. You believed in him? Is that what qualified you to be loved? No. You were loved before you believed in him. You don't have to believe. You could be in this room this morning and you don't believe. That's cool. You belong. You don't have to believe in God. I mean, do you believe, you know, do you believe in radio? Do you believe in radio? How many of you listen to a radio in your car? You believe in it? Okay, you can't see radio waves, can you? But you believe in them. Why do you believe in them? Because you found a radio that can tune into radio waves. You believe in TV? I know some of you believe in TV. I can see because you're like me. You get older, you got a balanced diet. Bubbles in the middle. It means you believe in TV. And why do you believe in TV? Because you found a television. Okay, you can say, well, I don't believe in God. I can't see him. The problem is you haven't found your heart. It takes a human heart to receive the voice of God. And you've been putting your heart in the wrong place. Okay, so don't measure expectations by standards of the world. Number two, ignore religious voices. Religious voices are things that sound like God but promise despair. Things with conditions. Jesus will never put on you something that's already been taken off of you in the cross. So just ignore religious voices, which can sound like your preconceived ideas of what God is. Okay. Number three, be dull to disappointment. Live in expectation. The enemy will try to get you to look at the disappointments of others or the disappointments in your past or the what didn't happen here or didn't happen there. Be stupid to what didn't happen. You know what you need to do? This is 2015. I know we use electronics these days, and pretty much everything I have is electronic. But some of you maybe still use paper, and that's fine. And usually when you use paper and you need to face a new year, what you get is you get a new appointment book. How many of you got a new appointment book this year? Okay. Now, even in my electronics, I have to turn to a new season in my electronic thing, and I have to. So, what you need to do is, some of you need to throw away your disappointment book and get an appointment book. An appointment book is a blank book that you fill in appointments. So you can't measure your expectations. If this is going to be a year of expectation, you can't enter into 2015 with a disappointment book. After a while, it gets really big. It's bigger than the Bible. You carry that thing around, the disappointment book. It's hard to be expectant when you're carrying around a disappointment book. What you have to have is you have to have an empty book. You'd expect to hear. Number four, live where perfect love casts out all fear. In Isaiah 37, it was verse 6 and 7, it said, don't be afraid of the words which you've heard, which your servant, the king of Assyria, has blasphemed. Surely I'll send a spirit upon him, and he'll hear a rumor from his own land, and he'll cause him to fall by the sword of his own hand. You know, your enemy will destroy himself. You know what the spirit of fear is? How many of you have ever been afraid? Okay. You know, when you're afraid, you're inviting a spirit of fear. And you know why they call it a spirit of fear? Because it's afraid. It's called a spirit of fear because it's afraid. Boo! It's afraid, see? And what it wants to do is it wants you to think that it belongs to you. Then you'll be afraid. The weapon of the enemy is what's in the enemy's hands already. You know what depression. You know what the spirit of depression is? Depressed. And it wants you to say, I'm depressed. No, you're not depressed. You may be battling a spirit of depression, but it doesn't belong to you. Cancer doesn't belong to you. You may be battling those things, but they don't belong to you. Okay? So those things destroy themselves. So live where perfect love casts out all fear. Because you see, the opposite of faith is natural sight. But the opposite of fear is love. And faith only works through love. So you can't have greater expectations without faith, and you can't have faith without a revelation of love. If you've been living your life by commandments, love God and love your neighbor, stop it. If you've been commanding your children, love God, stop it. It's not good parenting. If you're commanding your children, love their neighbor as they love themselves, stop it. It's not good parenting. Here's better parenting. Give them a revelation of love. Because when you have a revelation of love, you will love. The old covenant was based on commands. The new covenant is based on a revelation that we love one another even as he loved us. Please, listen to me. I'm going to speak to you as a wise parent. I'm a wise parent. I've raised 3 children, and I've got 4 grandchildren now. Fourth one's almost manifested. Pretty manifested. March is the deliverance day for mom. But as a wise parent, if you're a parent, don't teach your children right and wrong. Teach them the voice. Not your voice. Teach them God's voice. Teach them how to hear God's voice. Now, there is a right and there is a wrong, and God's voice will lead you into what is right. But if all you do is teach them right and wrong, but don't make them responsible for intimacy with God themselves, then you're coming short of what they need. Because what you need in life is not the ability to know what is right and to know what is wrong. You need the ability to hear the voice of God. Because some days the confusion, the dust storm is so strong, you can't tell what's right and what's wrong. It gets like between here and Lordsburg. You can't tell what direction you're going, and you simply got to pull over to the side of the road and stop. And if you're going to move forward, you need to be able to hear, because you can't see. Okay? Just a side trail. Good one, though. Okay? So be dull to disappointment. Live in where perfect love casts out all fear. Number 5, know who God is and who you are. Know that you are God's people, and God lives in your midst. We went over that. He lives in your life. You're God's people. He's your God. So know that who God is and who you are. Number 6, believe the motion of God more than the commotion of the enemy. The difference is the motion of God is a voice behind you that motivates you to move forward. The commotion of the enemy is a voice that tries to draw you into some place of distraction. God's voice motivates you, doesn't control you. Number 7, move forward because you're a people of faith. Faith comes how? Hearing what? Okay, that's nice. Now talk to me. Speak that to me in English. How does faith come? Huh? Hearing what? Okay, that's nice. Speak to me in English, would you? I don't understand that. I've never been to church. How does faith come? I mean, I know the verse you just told me. I believe it's true. But I want you to talk to me as human beings. I don't know anything. How does faith happen? Huh? Okay, when we listen to what God says, when we hear God speak, when God speaks to us, when God speaks to our hearts, When God speaks inside of us, something happens. When I hear God, something happens. You mean it's not something I can do? It's something that happens when I hear God inside? When God talks to me personally, faith happens. We've got to be people of faith. Okay, if we're looking at everything out here, we can't be people of faith. If we're looking at everything in here, then we can be people of faith. Now, reading my word helps, but reading my word can also make me religious. So I read my word in connection with hearing God in my heart. I don't read my word so that my head knows what to do. I read my word so that my heart knows what to do. Then my head will know what to do. You don't hear God with your head, people. You hear God with your heart. Then your head hears. If you're looking to hear God with your head, no wonder you're not hearing him. You can't get it around your head? Of course you can't. He doesn't speak to your head. He speaks to your heart. Yeah? And you can trust your heart. You know, he's the one, if you're dyslexic and insomniac and you're agnostic, you've been laying up all night arguing whether there is a dog or not. I mean, but it's the voice inside. Number eight, walk in new levels of obedience to the faith. Begin to respond to what God is saying. Number nine was come to unity. Don't try to make others be like you. You know, unity is diversity, not conformity. When you get mad at others because they don't think like you, it's because they're not you. Unity is something we come to, not something that comes to us. Come to unity. Okay, we talked about these things, so I'm not dwelling on these. Number 10, live for his calling, his inheritance, and his power. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20 says, Paul prayed this prayer, and I prayed this here before for you. I'm praying, I still pray for City Life Church in Deming. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, young and old. I'm praying that the eyes of your heart would be open, that you'll know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance that's in you, and the amazing power, his power that's in you, that's changing the world behind you. I'm not praying that you know your calling in life, because you don't have one. I'm praying that you catch what your part in his calling is. I'm not praying for your inheritance. I'm praying that you figure out who you are for his glory. I'm praying for your part in his inheritance. I'm not praying for your power. I'm praying for his power in you that'll actually change the world behind you so that you won't reap what you sowed in stupidity, but you'll reap what sowed by his power. Yeah? So if we're going to be people of expectancy, we got to live for his calling. So we can't live like the world. Now, living like the world, it's out in the notes here. Well, it's not in the notes, but you would find it. I've talked about this before. It's in Christ Unveiled book back here. But in Revelation 13, and Revelation, by the way, my goodness, we've done some crazy things. You know, if I said the word apocalypse, what are you going to think? Judgment, doom, gloom. Do you know what the word apocalypse means? It's a very happy, cheerful word. It means what couldn't be seen before, all of a sudden now it can be seen. And did you know that the book of Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, is a revelation of a person, not end time events? If it was about end time events, it's been a worthless book for 2,000 years. And God told me through the mouth of Paul to Timothy that all scripture is profitable for my way of life to keep me in the, bring Christ out of me, keep me in the path of life and make it so that I'm dependent on him and complete, equipped for every good work. If it can't pass that test, it's not scripture. And by that test, most people's view of Revelation has flunked the test every time. So throw it away. You don't need it. But I'm proposing it passes the test if you quit looking at it about events and you start realizing it's about a person. And so Revelation 13 says this. You know, it's in mystery language. So you might say, well, if God wanted to talk to me, why didn't he just talk to me plainly? Right? What do you think of that one? Why is the Bible so hard to understand? Right? Okay. Now, if you were going to go to China and be a missionary, okay, do you think that Spanish is going to be hugely useful? No? How about English? It might help you, but it's not going to be hugely useful. If you're going to actually live like forever in China, what might you want to do? You might want to learn Chinese, right? You might want to even figure out what part of China you're in so that you know the culture of that area, right? Yeah? Okay. You know, otherwise, you're not going to be relevant in that area. Okay? So it's like me, gringo. If I go to Mexico, I probably need to learn Mexican, Spanish, right? Or I'm going to be a gringo. Right? Okay? And I can't be like a stupid American and expect them to learn my language. I probably need to learn that, right? You know, at least piquito, you know, a little bit, you know. Come on. Okay, so if you're going to hear God, you probably need to learn his language, right? So we can't be lazy. We've got to learn his language. All right? So Revelation 13, it says, out of the sea, which is the world, by the way. If you can't figure that out, just look at the globe. 70% of the planet is covered with what? Water. What kind of water? Salt water. Okay, what happens if you drink it? Well, the first thing is you get thirsty. You don't quench your thirst, right? You know, when you're in the world, you look for life, but you're just still thirsty. You drink a little more of it, what happens? Huh? Well, you get thirstier, but you also start getting crazy. You start seeing things. You start hallucinating. You start getting crazy. You know, in the world, you can pursue that kind of life, but after a while, all you're doing is seeing things. You're hallucinating. Yeah? You're seeing stuff. It makes you crazy. You know, in my state, they've legalized marijuana. You know, I take a little bit of it, and it just makes me hungry. Okay, but it never satisfies. I got the munchies, and all I do is get fat. You know, but I take it. You know what it does? It makes me see things. It makes me crazy. But it doesn't really satisfy. Yeah. You know, when I look for love in the wrong place, of course, I've never done that, but but it doesn't satisfy. You know, salt water, if I drink a little, it makes me thirsty. More, it makes me crazy. If I drink more of it, what's it going to do? It's going to kill me. I'm going to die. Because it's not a life source. I can recreate on it, work on it. That's the way of the world. You know, in Revelation 13, there's a beast that comes out of that. And, you know, I've talked to you before about it, but I'll give you the illustration again. Remember, that beast comes, it's like a leopard. Friday night. No, sneaky. Friday night, you go to the bar. In business, you get a job and you got a chance for promotion. And the way you get it is, you consume someone else. Ah, conquered me, I live. Me. Okay? And then it says, this beast that comes out of the sea has feet like a bear. It's not like a bear, it's like a leopard. But it's got feet like a bear. It's relentless in me. I move my way or the highway. I walk according to my will. Me, I live. Me, I move. And then it says, has a mouth like a lion.
Look at me. I am Ted. Ted. Famous. Famous me. In me I live. In me I move. In me I have my being. I'm a man, man, man. Me, me, me. 666. It's the way I think. It's the way the world thinks. And it says that they get their power, throne, and authority from the dragon, the devil. Okay? When I live for me, in other words, my whole purpose is to eat you so that I live. My whole purpose is to be me so that I move. My whole purpose is to influence you with me so that you see me. Now, I can't condemn the world for that. I used to have that mark. It was in my thinking and in whatever I did. My hand was a taking tool. Its purpose. See, I thought as a human being, the way the world thinks of this is my mind is to live for me and my hand is to take for me. Mine. Purpose of a hand is to get. The purpose of a mind is to figure out how I can get. How I can get? Now I get. How I get? Now I get. Okay? So my spirit is powered by me. That's my power is me. It's in my thinking. My soul, how I move around in life, the throne of life, my will, my mind, my intellect, my reasoning, my emotions, all about me. What can I get? And my authority, the way I influence the world, is all about me. Me. Ha! Me. Me, me, me. Me, me, me. Spirit of the world. Okay? Now, if I'm going to be expected in 2015, I can't be a human being that lives like the world, that's living for me. Me, me, me. I got to start realizing I was born to live for him and for the future generations because my hand is not a taker. My hand is a blesser. It's a giving tool. My life is a giving tool. Your life is a giving tool. It's in your thinking. How do I bring more life to the world? You're at work and you say, oh, I hate my job. It's a terrible job. Everybody's bad there. Anybody got that situation? It's a nasty job. You might want to raise your hand or don't have to, but maybe you've had that job. If you've had that job, here's my problem with that. If you're in the job where everybody's bad, my question is, I thought you were there. Because you're not there to get, you're there to give. Now, you want to talk to somebody about this, you talk to my oldest son. Because before he was a pastor, he was in business. And he was a supervisor. He got hired in this one place where everybody was bad. He was a subcontractor for another company. And he went into the situation, and the company hated the subcontracting company. If you worked for that company, you were like the low end of the totem pole. And the boss of the main company and all of the people in that company hated the sub company. And when my son went in there, he became a supervisor of the sub company. And his boss was a terrible guy. When my son finally quit after several years, they threw a party for him, the main boss of the other company, and everything changed because my son's attitude was this: I'm here to change the environment for him. And it worked because he lived and moved and had his being for the purpose of God. If we're going to have expectations, we got to begin to live for his calling, his inheritance, and his power, not our own. Number 11, we got to come to the place of thinking like God. We got to think like God. That means allow your heart and your mind to be redefined. Some things that God says, you have wrong definitions for his words. But But we got to learn to define things. Like when you hear the word justice, you probably hear get even. In heaven's view, from the view of heaven, in a revelation of Jesus Christ, there are 12 foundations in the church. They're the tribes of Israel. But if you read it, you'll find that the tribe of Dan is not there. And Dan has been replaced with the tribe of Manasseh. You know what Manasseh means? To forget. Do you know what Dan means? Judge. You know, you cannot think like the world. You got to come to the place where you're thinking like God. God doesn't think judge. What he thinks is forget. But you won't have greater expectations if you're thinking judge. You can only have greater expectations if your thinking starts with forget. Amen. When it comes to sin, God has amnesia. He remembers it no more, forever. It was from an earlier time in life and he can't remember it. The church should be the stupidest place on the planet towards sin. You should be the stupidest person towards sin. You shouldn't be walking in it, but you shouldn't be remembering it either, and you shouldn't be holding it over others. So we got to come to the place where we think like God. And then the final point that I want to give is, if we're going to have expectancy in 2015... it's a season where you got to tune your ear and your heart to some things. So I'm going to give them to you. The first thing is, I want you to tune your ears and your hearts to this. Listen closely for it. Open your heart to this. The sound of liberation. Listen for this. Look for this. Put your heart to this. The sound of liberation. If it sounds like control, probably is. So listen for liberation. That doesn't mean anything goes. That means true freedom. You know what you call flowing water without any boundaries? Without any boundaries. Flowing water without any boundaries. What would that be? Let's say we just had flowing water through here. Whoosh! A flood. What does it do? Destroys. We can work it out when it's done. But it destroys. So I want whatever I want. Whoosh! And a whole lot of people get hurt. Okay? That's not liberty. Do you know what you call water in boundaries, but just in boundaries? No? Just boundaries all four sides. A lake or a pond. It's nice. It's not too much liberty. It's just nice. Okay. Do you know what you call boundaries without any flowing water? Do this. Don't do this. Do this. Don't do this. Don't. 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 Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know what that's called? Huh? Called rules. Okay, let's put it in a geographical thing. A rut. A valley. Kick the ends in. We got a grave. Do you know what you call flowing water with boundaries? I mean, flowing water with boundaries. Not still water, but flowing water with boundaries. Boundaries. Water. A river. What can you do with a river? You can get life. Can you go somewhere? Can you produce power? So flowing water in a river. So you need to find the flowing water in your life with boundaries. It's not the boundaries that define you. It's actually the flowing water in your life that creates the boundaries. Because the stronger it flows, the deeper it cuts. Your problem is not knowing what to do or not to do. Your problem is knowing who you are. When you know who you are, it'll create boundaries for the sake of others. Okay? You got to set your heart and your ear to the sound of forgiveness. I want more expectations this year. Listen for the sound of forgiveness. Now, where did I get these things? The Holy Spirit told me. The 2015 is a year of expectations. And he said, this is what you're listening for. This is what you're listening for. Don't listen to the world. Listen for this. Listen for the sound of liberation. Listen for the sound of forgiveness. Okay? Listen for the sound of hope renewed. Okay? Listen for the sound of hope renewed. Listen for the sound of liberty. Listen for the sound of forgiveness. Listen for the sound of hope renewed. Where is that? Listen for the sound of indulging in God. His love, his life. Listen for the sound of indulging in God. Don't listen for the sound of a God who controls you. Listen for the sound of a God who says, you can come and indulge with me. Come and eat at my table. Come experience my life. When God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, you know what he said? Eat, 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 eat. Don't touch that one, you'll die. It said he commanded Adam to eat of every tree in the garden except for one. But religion heard that, don't, die. Die. But God wants us to hear the sound of eat. Set your heart to the sound of eat, eat, eat. Not the one that makes you smart. Not the one that makes you know what you're doing. Oh, listen for the sound of indulging in God where you don't know what you're doing. Where you're not in control. To indulge in God is to come to the place where you don't know what you're doing. You know why God gives children to people of your young? Blessed are the children of your youth. Why does God give children to younger people? Because they don't know what they're doing. Your parents didn't know what they were doing. Isn't that wonderful? He did that because he wanted them to have to be dependent on him to figure it out. And you know what? God gives grandkids to people who gets grandkids? People like me. White hair on our face, we get grandkids. You know why? We know what we're doing. So he gives grandkids, and what does that mean? Now we get to not know. We get to no longer be parents. We have to be grandparents. You know what grandparents are? They're antique little children. That's what grandparents are. They're people who have decided not to know anymore. That's your role, is to not know. Even when your kids are around, you know, the parents are around with the kids and the kids do things and you're tempted to be the parent, you get to move into the neighborhood of not being the parent. Hello. I know this because I'm a part of a church that I'm not the pastor. My son is, so I'm grandpa, which means in my church, I don't know. Okay, so listen for the sound of indulging in God, his love, his life. Listen for the sound that opens prison doors. Listen for the sound of praise. Listen for the sound of expectation. Listen for the sounds of purpose and destiny. Okay, that's a pretty good list. If you'll set your ear to hearing these sounds, I promise you, 2015 will be a year of great expectation. When you hear something else, don't put your heart there. If it doesn't sound like liberation, don't listen. If it isn't the sound of forgiveness, don't listen. If it isn't a sound of hope renewed, don't listen to it. If it isn't a sound of indulging in God, don't listen to it. If it's not the sound of opening prison doors, don't listen to it. If it's not the sound of praise, don't listen to it. If it's not the sound of expectation, don't listen to it. If it's not the sound of purpose and destiny, don't listen to it. But if it's these sounds, you can put your heart there. Put them all together and they'll define each other. Put them all together and they'll define each other. Because you see, liberation can only be defined if you put forgiveness and indulging, and all these things are connected, or you're going to misinterpret the words. Yeah? So Holy Spirit, move into the neighborhood of City Life Church this year. And let this be a year of greater expectations. Let it be a year of unexpected expectations. God, teach us your language. I hear you, but I hear you in my language. Would you help me? Would you allow me to become a testimony of you? You want to release us, God, as your community to the world. The world is looking for love in the wrong places. They think it's Islam. They think it's religious Christianity. They think it's promiscuity. They think it's living for themselves at the expense of others. God, that's not the community of life. God, would you anoint us to be who we really are, the family of God? Would you cause City Life Church to really get that this year more than ever before? It's happening, but would you let my family get this, that it's a family? That Jesus is my brother and God, you're my friend? Would you cause us to become the people who know that our trust is in you, that you're our portion, you're our protection, and that we would become the people who know your presence, not in a religious way, but 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we know your presence, we grow spiritually, we increase in our expectancy, we remain receptive, and we live in security. And would you allow this city to see something in our families? Would you let our neighbors see us to be who we really are? And would you anoint our neighbors to become who they really are? God, would you release another measure in America of the people of God, not the people of church, but the church, the people of God? God, we've defined you in things that you aren't. We've told people that you are something you are not. We've told them that if they believe, they can belong, and that's a lie. They already belong. We've told them they've got to get rid of things in their life to be loved, and that's not true. They simply need to know how much they're loved to be able to get rid of the things that aren't loving them. God, would you help us to hear your language? Would you help us become your people? Plow the dirt. Sow the seed. Let your kingdom come, your will be done here exactly as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.